Breakfast with Martin Fester.
Thursday morning, how are you doing? It's my pleasure to welcome to the show sports writer Liam Delcom. Liam, how's it? Nice to meet you. Welcome on the show.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Almal, julle ken mekaar. Julle is altyd nou in Japan gewees vir die Wêreldbeker.
Yes.
How was it? Did you enjoy it?
It was absolutely amazing. I can't believe that I boarded the flight back, to be honest.
Really?
But on the first day, first morning, reality hits you in the face once you get back. I don't know if you found the same.
What do you miss most? Don't say the toilet.
I do actually miss the toilet. You
feel, to myself on this toilet
you
now.
Feel a little incomplete when you go about your daily business, not having had the, you know,
the Japanese
the normal,
the full treatment,
the full treatment, as it were. Yeah.
That's incredible. Now you've obviously been following sport and rugby for many, many years. What is the story? Have you been touring? Did you cover the Springboks tours?
I've covered a few tours. The first BOK tour I covered would have been, well, that was a Sevens tour, actually. That would have been way back in 1996. So the book I wrote is about 23 years of touring with the Springboks, whether it's the 15-man team or the Sevens team. So,
but now, hang on. If you've been touring with the Springboks now for 23 years, you must have seen and heard some things.
Not all publishable.
How much of it can you put in the book?
Little bits and pieces, and also when you put those little bits and pieces in, you need to sort of double check with the people involved whether you know they're okay with it. So there's no major scandal.
But things that will surprise us.
So I would hope so. No major scandals, because there are other books that have dealt with those. So this is basically a book that puts the reader in the shoes of a sports writer on tour with the BOKs. So it's all the things that happens behind the scenes. You really get we try and give you a sense. Of what it's like.
Yeah.
So whether it's the atmosphere at the game, whether it's the tension in a press conference, or whether you see the Springbok star player go down in practice and you know that he's not going to make it on Saturday, there's obviously barroom activity, you know, nocturnal activity that has to be covered as well.
Nocturnal activity.
Yes.
Yes. When they're supposed to be in their hotel room with their, because they share most, don't they? They get roommates.
If you get to 50 caps, I think you get a room.
It's a while to wait.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have to be a roomie.
Yeah, you have to earn your spurs.
Yeah. So, some of the most colorful names. Name one of your favorite people. And I'm talking here about big characters. The Naughty Oaks, the funny guys, the character that we might not know about.
Oof, that's a tough one. There's quite a few. I'll say this. The Rassie Rasmus we see now is not necessarily Rassie Rasmus we had way back.
Yeah.
He'll admit it as much. I mean, he'll say as much. He's much more mellow. He is also a lot more transparent. From his playing days. It's an absolute pleasure to work with him now.
Is he all that? Everyone just seems to be so impressed with Rassie.
There's a 2-minute clip from last weekend's match in the post-match press conference. The press conference obviously is much longer than that, but there's a 2-minute segment that I think all South Africans should listen to, because he talks about pressure and what is pressure for us.
Contextualize it for South Africans.
So England will worry about, are we going to win all our lineups? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? And he talks about the daily pressures that South Africans go through. And it's actually something they spoke about after they lost the All Blacks, their opening match at the World Cup. So they needed to set the reset button, or push the reset button. And what came up in the wash there was certainly that it galvanized the side. Because, you know, pressure in that sense then meant nothing.
You were there when Peter de Villiers was coach, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was colourful, it was interesting, you never knew what was going to happen next.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of his favourite sayings was, even the bad times are good. He always said that.
He's full of sayings.
Yeah.
I met him now this year, you know, more intimately, and he's full of sayings. He just wants to inspire. He's a character.
You can't take that away from him. Absolutely, he's a character.
He was a guy geweest, as a groot dames, as a Joost. Groot geest ook natuurlijk, incredible guy, active on the field, off the field, is like, you know, all over the place. What a legend.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Joost in his latter years, whenever, you know, I bumped into him, the arm comes out, it's a firm handshake, he looks you in the eye the same way he looked at you 20 years ago.
He remembers you.
Yeah. And what I found quite touching was a tour of Argentina. Well, not a tour of Argentina, but the Box played a test in Mendoza in 2012. It was Argentina's first year in the rugby championship.
Yeah.
And the outgoing ambassador to Argentina, Tony Leon, arranged a few functions because he was on his way out. So he kind of went out with a bang. And he had this function where Uist was present. So he was already wheelchair bound, and there were a couple of speeches, and he said a few words, and the Argentinians in the room and whoever else were there, they were just, and these are tough men. I mean, they are just brutes, all of them, and they, almost all of them, just stood their heads bowed, weeping as if
reduced to tears.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Liam, you are currently working where? You're writing for?
The Sunday Times.
The Sunday Times. You've written for various publications over the years and basically toured with the Springboks on and off for the last 23 years. So you've been there with... You know what strikes me, and you probably would have seen it this year as well, the pressure gets more and more, probably because of the addition of social media. Because it's not just about playing rugby and getting your strategy right and getting the players fit. It's also now you need to be social media savvy. And I was by, you know, you've got press around the team as well. Are they aware of you guys? Are they scared sometimes that you spot things that you shouldn't write about?
Not overtly. I think once you make the... Once you start playing professional rugby, when you get to your province, I think there's a level of... people are being made aware of those things, and then obviously once you get to national level, that those things are sort of amplified, so you are briefed properly about what you should do and what shouldn't do, especially around social media, and especially I suppose around media themselves. So I think they are well prepared by then, so I don't think it's a, I don't want to call it a fear, but they are certainly aware of where they are and what they can do and say in a particular moment.
They've got a lot of people around them though. Kind of, you know, between them and people and fans and social media and
they are gatekeepers. There are lots of gatekeepers.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of, you know. Talk to me about some of the characters from this team. I mean, a lot of these names were unknown to the average South African up until the World Cup. Now, of course, everyone now knows about Mapimpi and Herschel Jantjies and so on and so on. And fuck the Klerksdorffs.
Mapimpi is probably a good example. I mean, if you look at his background, who comes from a rural town in the Eastern Cape, under normal circumstances, he has absolutely no business making it all the way into the Springbok team, because increasingly with South Africa, not just in South Africa, but with professional sport, there's a particular pathway that you have to follow to become a professional sportsman and compete at the highest level. So there's a well-defined path, and if you're not on that path, if you're not on that highway, it is very difficult to sort of jump on two-thirds in. And somehow he was able to do that, and he looks entirely comfortable in that environment. Sure, there are language issues initially. I mean, there was one, when he got into the team, he didn't say an awful lot. And there was one practice where he just piped up and said, guys, you know, that last move we did, you need to be closer to me. You know, so he just felt isolated, and everybody stood there sort of in silence that he said something in English.
The guy spoke.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, increasingly he's warmed to the challenge and the fact that he's representing the country. I think his story is a wonderful, typical South African story.
Kudos to the coaching staff that had the faith in him, that spotted him.
Because he was in some areas a little bit unrefined. And they worked on him. They put in the hours. And if you look at him,
unrefined. What do you mean?
In certain areas of his game, wasn't up to scratch.
Afgerond,
And they worked diligently on that, not just on him, but on some of the other players as well. And by the time World Cup came around, even before World Cup came around, I mean, in the rugby championships, there was no fear that there were holes in the makeup of certain players' games. So. They certainly covered all their bases as far as that's concerned. As I said earlier, I think he is just about the poster boy of what is possible in South Africa. And, of course, Siya Kolisi as well.
Who's your favourite character in this team, Elma?
My favourite character in this team is Siya. I know it's really obvious, but I know Siya. I've worked with him for a long, long time. I saw him when that launch of that watch, you know, that Springbok limited edition watch that we had on the show.
Yes, yes, yes.
I saw him at that launch about 2 months before the tournament. And we, even though it was a noisy, busy launch, we had a really heartfelt chat. I cried again. I cry a lot. I cried that night. because of what he said to me. And that's when I knew. That's when I had a feeling something's happening here. He has overcome.
Yeah.
And his story is not unique. And that's what makes me cry. The fact that so many people have overcome such immense odds. So many of our players, but there are also so many South Africans out there who share that story. The resilience of our nation and the people we have in South Africa, that's what makes us unique.
Talking about poster people, your favorite character in this team?
Certainly from this World Cup, I quite enjoyed Faf. He spoke with a level of sort of bare knuckle honesty. He said it as he felt it in the moment. And even, you know, early on, sort of not early on, but sort of halfway through the tournament, where, you know, he had a few iffy games and social media was exploding, all the memes and people poking fun at him. And he spoke about that, and he was like, you know what, this is the job we've signed up for. That's just part of it. Yeah, it was a very mature way of looking at it. And he actually said, I find some of the things very funny. Not all of it, but some of it. So he's, you know, it doesn't bother him at all. And you could see that, you know, there's a lot of criticism about how he played in terms of the Bok game plan. He often had to kick. It was like, it's a huge part of what they have to
we
do.
We understand now that it was part of a big game plan. At the time, we thought it was just fuff.
No. It's just part of a wider strategy. So he's going to keep on doing that despite all the criticism.
But that's
just
pro.
Absolutely. It's just a question of then how he executes that, those kicks.
Here's the simple, he just proves once again how we are as fans. When you're doing something, you know, and you're winning, we love you. You do something that we don't like, then we hate you. There's nothing in between.
Yeah.
People go berserk. It's like, oh my word, the worst, to oh my word, the best. Yeah. Now he's this absolute hero. And all he had to do is just stick to his guns, stick to the game plan, and believe and block out all that stuff.
But that's also, I suppose, in many ways, what the Bok team was about. They figured out fairly early on what they need to do. And obviously there is a level of belief that was quite obvious in that team from sort of halfway through.
Look, the bottom line here is that there's so much going on behind the scenes when it goes to these rugby tours. And if you want to read more about it, when is your book launching next week?
It's launching in the middle of the month. It will be available. It's available on Loot if anybody wants to get it a bit cheaper. I think it's 75 rand cheaper on Loot. But it's supposed to be out middle of this month.
The book is called Winging It, with On Tour with a Box with Liam Dalcom. Go read about it if you want to know what it's like touring with the Springbok rugby team and seeing all these high-pressure matches, meeting all these massive legends of the game. Go and read all about it in this book. Liam has been doing it for the last 23 years and is sharing with us. Appreciate that. Thank you for popping in. Looking forward to reading the book. And keep touring with them. You're going to keep doing it, right? You're not hanging it up like Beast.
Not just yet. You never know. It's a very fickle industry.
Well, 23 years.
Yeah, I've survived so far.
Survived so far. Very well. Thanks for being on the show, Liam.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up next, Chance to Win with Lotto Star.
Wake up. With Martin Westerholm. Breakfast.
You know, it's the undisputed heavyweights on morning breakfast.
All I want is
my favorite breakfast show. In your car.
Yeah, the great show.
At work.
You just make my day every day.
This is Breakfast with Martin Bester. Every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Jacaranda FM.